Hello, listeners of Siouxland Catholic Radio, and this show is Faith in Action, and I am so pleased you set your dials to 88.1 FM. I'm Joanne Fox. I'm the host of the show, and again, so tickled that you made the choice to join me and my guest today and to learn about something that maybe a lot of you are not familiar with. So on the phone with me is Patrick DeMars. And Patrick actually is a board member of on Siouxland Catholic Radio, but he's got quite the story to tell us. But first, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, Patrick?
Thank you, Joanne. Yeah, so as she said, my name is Patrick DeMars. I am the son of Ron and Katie DeMars. So I grew up in Sioux City, Iowa, attending Holy Cross Parish. Currently, I am a junior at Iowa State in software engineering. A couple years ago in 2020, I graduated from Bishop Heelan, and that's the quick rundown of me.
Yeah, that's very quick. So what are you exactly studying in school?
So I'm studying software engineering.
Okay, and what does that mean?
That's all the stuff that runs on the computer.
Okay, and what prompted you to go that route?
So really, since my childhood, I've always really enjoyed working with computers. And then in about sixth grade, I began experimenting with writing programs and code that runs on those computers. And that really connected with me. So then in about my junior year of high school, I had the opportunity to start as an intern at Tyson Foods doing software engineering work. And through that and just experimentation on my own, I was very sure that that is what I wanted to end up doing. And I've loved every minute of it.
Terrific. It's interesting that you kind of headed in that direction, because I'll give the listeners a little bit of background on stuff I know about you and your parents and a grandmother you have. Your dad, Ron, and I have long been in the press here in Sioux City. He, of course, is on the air at KTIV and is the weathercaster. Well, he's the meteorologist, come to think of it, even more than just the weathercaster. But we have collaborated on things because he's an accomplished pianist. And then your grandmother, Mary Helen McElroy, who is your mom's mom, was like notorious in Siouxland, and I guess notorious isn't quite the right word, but well known for her love of music and incredibly connected to organizations like Trinity Heights Queen of Peace, and played the organ for the Latin Mass at the Cathedral of the Epiphany. And what kind of music skills do you have, Patrick?
Not nearly as much as the rest of my family, to say the least. I started taking piano lessons from my grandma, Mary Helen, when I was in second grade. Or was it first grade, somewhere in there. So I took those up until the time that she passed away. And then my dad continued teaching me through about eighth grade or so. And then at that point, just decided that it wasn't really where I saw myself continuing and progressing. So I decided to focus on some other things.
Understood. And then you have how many siblings?
So I have three younger sisters, and they are all much more talented at piano than I am.
And I was going to say, you just had one that was in a show at the Sioux City Community Theater. By the time this airs, it would be quite some time ago. But it was Seussical, the musical.
Yep, so Abby, my middle sister, was in that. And then she's a very talented vocalist. And my oldest sister, Ella, she plays flute and piano, as they all do. And then Lizzie, the youngest, is working on piano.
There you go. But you're using your skills in a little different way. And why don't you tell the listeners a little about the things you have done for Siouxland Catholic Radio? And I'm just going to kind of give a heads up, because one of the things you and I worked on was the ordination to the priesthood of Father Andrew Gallus and Father Matt Selinges, which we at Siouxland Catholic Radio broadcast live, and you are integral in making sure that that all came together. So kind of tell the listeners a little bit about that.
So I joined Catholic Radio a few years ago, and at the time there wasn't a whole lot of capability for live streaming events. So I kind of was able to provide the technical background and learn on the fly to make it happen, that people are able to watch, you know, Catholic events in the Siouxland area live from the comfort of their home. For a while, that was healing football and basketball games. Obviously, we've had ordinations and things of that sort. And then most recently, at the time of this recording, the Siouxland Catholic Radio pledge drive, to make sure that, you know, people are able to see what's going on instead of just listening. But I think the live streaming capabilities provide a great way for people to stay involved and not feel like they're missing out quite as much if they're home because of COVID or other health issues, or, you know, aren't able to drive or do, you know, get to the actual event.
And I find it interesting, you know, that you would be willing to help us out with the many challenges that radio faces in broadcasting. What is it about Catholic radio that resonates with you?
Catholic radio has a fantastic message. I think that they're, you know, working on getting out, and the listener base is absolutely fantastic. Everybody that you talk to that listens is so happy and grateful for everything that anybody at the station does, and I think it's hard to find a place that is truly appreciated like that.
And we appreciate that. We love support from anybody and everybody, and especially a young person like yourself. But listeners, the reason that I have Patrick on is something that is even more fascinating. And this I discovered on Facebook. I'm not sure if your mom posted it and then your dad was tagged in it. But you were part of an organization that's called Be the Match. And tell the listeners a little bit about that.
So Be the Match is the National Stem Cell and Bone Marrow Registry. And there's kind of two sides to the organization. People that are sick with bone cancer or other diseases are able to request a donor, and whether that's stem cells or bone marrow, when they receive that, that's one of the only chances they have at surviving. And then the other side is the donors, which is what I ended up doing. And they joined the registry just out of the goodness of their heart. It's as simple as filling out a survey, just talking about, you know, your ethnic background, any diseases that you may have had in the past, and then they send you a cheek swab, and you just simply swab both sides of your cheek, and you send that back, and then you're on the registry. And if somebody is ever in the position that they are needing a transplant, their tissue typing, their HLA tissue, gets sampled against yours, and then...
Well, what I find interesting about you, Patrick, is that you are part of an organization that is called Be the Match. And I know a little bit about it because I saw your mom, I think, posted it on Facebook and tagged your dad. And I'm kind of intrigued as to why you saw value in this Be the Match. And then maybe you can tell the listeners a little bit about Be the Match. But what motivated you to take that next step to say, I think this is something I want to be involved with?
So if I'm being honest, I don't even fully remember joining Be the Match. I know that I did it my freshman year of college, and the process was super simple. But at the end of the day, I joined because just based on past relationships, I know how important the act of giving of your body in whatever way you're able to is. And I saw Be the Match as, you know, a one in a million shot that maybe I'd be able to help save somebody's life. And because I knew that there was that sliver of hope, I wanted to be a part of it.
So tell the listeners what Be the Match is exactly.
So Be the Match is the National Stem Cell and Bone Marrow Registry. So when there is a patient that's sick in the hospital with bone cancer or a kid with leukemia or different deadly diseases, they start searching for a donor on the Be the Match registry. And people like me that have joined the registry, as simple as just swabbing your cheek, basically they compare, and any of the people that are the best matches, they try to learn more about them and figure out how would they be able to, or if they are able to donate stem cells or bone marrow or whatever's necessary to help save that person.
Did you have to fill out a lot of paperwork? Because I know paperwork always seems to be a part of organizations.
So there's actually a surprisingly little amount of paperwork. They don't want to know every intricate detail about your life, just details about your ethnic background, maybe diseases and things that you have had in the past that may impact your eligibility status, your weight, things like that. One of the biggest things, though, is definitely your ethnicity, because you're more likely to match with people of the same race.
Mm-hmm.
So I, being Irish, this is what I learned throughout the donation process. I'm Irish, so it's not uncommon for me to match with either Irish people or people of Germanic descent, just because how our blood types evolved or whatever, that's who I'm most likely to be of close relation with.
Well, that's really interesting. I would not have thought ethnicity would be an element of all of this. And so do they ask you, like, can you prove ancestry.com kind of things? Because I guess anybody could write down, you know, I'm Polish, I am, or I'm Irish. Or how did they determine that? Is it through the cheek swab?
So everything that they need to know about you is through the cheek swab.
Okay.
And then everything else is just supplemental information that, if you ever to be matched, could help them in figuring out, you know, how good of a match you are. So maybe you can include this on the, you know, if you post something about this. But give me a moment here and I will find. Basically, if you're white, you have about 70% chance of finding somebody that is on the registry that is able to help save your life. However, individuals that are Black or of Hispanic descent have a significantly lower chance of matching with somebody.
Okay.
So what that means is it's really important for everybody of any ethnicity to be joining the registry, but especially those that have those lower chances, because the more people that are on the registry, the higher the chance is that you're going to be able to save somebody's life.
Okay. Well, listeners, as you know from this program, we always take a short break to give a shout out to our supporters and our underwriters and maybe do a public service announcement or two. So I want to remind you this show is Faith in Action, and I'm your host, Joanne Fox. And with me on the phone is Patrick DeMars, who's talking about this national registry called Be the Match. So, well, we would like you to match up with us, and please stay tuned because we'll be right back. Welcome back, listeners, to Faith in Action. I'm your host, Joanne Fox, and I'm so glad you set your dial to Channel 88.1 FM, KFHC Ponca Sioux City, and KOIA Storm Lake. It's always good to share information with our listeners and talk about how individuals implement their faith in action. So on the phone with me is Patrick DeMars. He is a Bishop Heelan graduate and also a student at Iowa State University, right? Go Cyclones?
Correct.
Okay. And Patrick is also a good friend of Siouxland Catholic Radio. He's helped us with so many different things with our live streaming and continues to help us. And for that, we are very grateful. But this is an interesting aspect that I wanted to share with listeners. And that is his association with an organization called Be the Match. And, you know, it's really interesting. There are thousands and thousands of people diagnosed every year with life-threatening blood cancers, leukemia, lymphoma, and there's a cure that exists. And this Be the Match program has been around for about 30 years. It is operated by the National Marrow Donor Program, and it's managed the most diverse marrow registry in the whole world. And that is actually why I'm talking to Patrick about his association with it. And, I want to thank you, Patrick, for sharing in the last hour, you know, almost everything you wanted to know about yourself and kind of what went into being a part of this Be the Match program, which you shared, you know, what intrigued you about it, and the whole ethnicity thing, which really surprised me more than I think. There's age requirements, I think, you know, or broad age recommendations, I should say, instead of requirements. You fall under that age requirement because you are how old?
So I'm 20 years old,
okay.
And generally donors need to be in the age of 18 to 40 or 45, I believe.
Yes.
And the reasoning for that is that based on some studies, the long-term results for the recipient shows the best results with people in that age range. And even within that range, the younger the better, basically.
Okay. So we talked in the last segment about, you know, there's paperwork, there's always paperwork. And you did you go online to find, you know, how to do this?
Yep. So you're able to go to bethematch.org, and they have great educational materials that explain, you know, what Be the Match is, why it's important, what the process looks like from every aspect of it. And then you're able to sign up. It takes less than 5 minutes. And then they're going to send you a cheek swab. And once you receive that, there's two of them in there, and you just swab those on your cheek for like 10 seconds. And you then ship that back. And Be the Match, I believe it costs them over $100 for every person that signs up. But they run a bunch of tests on that just saliva sample. And what they derive is your HLA tissue type. And Joanne, do you know anything about HLA tissue types?
Honestly, I do not.
So basically, it's unique identifiers that make up your blood. And if somebody else has like identical HLA issue typing as you, your body is barely going to be able to tell the difference between your blood and their blood, or their stem cells and your stem cells. So where this comes in handy is that when you're donating stem cells, as I did, you need to have every single HLA tissue type be the exact same. Otherwise, the recipient's body is going to reject the new cells or whatever you received, and it could potentially be life-threatening.
Okay. You know, as a parent, I would be, I guess, reticent if my son said that he was interested in doing something like this, only because, of course, I'm a mother. What was the response to this decision that you wanted to go forth and do the cheek swab and see what happens by your folks?
So I never told them that I was joining the registry or anything.
I love that.
Now, just joining the registry, it's not, you are committing to, and you should only join the registry if you genuinely want to help somebody and would donate given the opportunity. But once I was alerted that I was a potential match and was going to go on to further testing, which we can talk about in a minute,
mm-hmm.
That's when I got my parents involved and explained the process to them and what it is. And there was definitely a lot of hesitation initially.
Sure.
Which, you know, is absolutely natural. It's a unknown thing and it sounds really scary. But in general, once people learn more about the process and what it entails, you realize it's really not as scary as it sounds like. Mm-hmm. And Be the Match's number one priority is making sure that it doesn't have any negative impact on the donor's health. You shouldn't, you know, it's not like you should be penalized in any way for helping save somebody. So if, you know, they start doing further testing and figure out that, oh, maybe you could save this person's life, but it would cause this issue with you, it's done. You're not doing it because your health is number one.
Okay. I'm curious as to the time commitment. So you start kind of looking at this and you fill out the forms and they send you the cheek swab. What kind of time elapsed between, you know, you first filled out forms and then the cheek swab and then they contacted you with results? Was it fairly quick or was it over a longer period of time?
So I was a bit of a unique case. I signed up in about October of 2020 and then found out that I was a potential match with my recipient in December, which is unheard of quick. But then just due to different circumstances, wasn't able to do the actual donation for about a year after that.
I'm just curious again, was it like COVID related? Not that I'm asking you if you had COVID, but there were so many things that this whole country was going through at that time.
circumstances that not even I know. I was just told that at this time, it's not the best time for the patient. We'll be in touch if there ever is anything else or whatever.
Okay.
But then probably June of 2021 is when I found out that, hey, we're going to start moving forward with this again. And that's when, you know, additional time commitment kicked in.
Okay. And at this point, did they make you aware of any cost that would be associated with this that you might have to incur?
That's one of the absolutely fantastic things about Be the Match. I did not have a penny come out of my pocket for the entire donation process. It was simply my time.
Do they also provide you with a self-addressed stamped envelope to send the cheek swab back?
Oh, they did.
See, I love it. That's great. That's the way the organization should work. Go ahead.
I was going to say, every mile traveling to the donation site, any doctor's visits that I had, anything is completely covered by Be the Match, including meals on the way. You know, if you want some popcorn as you're driving down the interstate, you're welcome to get that too.
Okay, so you get the heads up that this is going to happen. You, of course, reside in Sioux City because that's where your folks live, but you are also living in Ames, going to school, and so you are apparently back for the summer, right, to do this. And how did they communicate to you, this is where we want you to go, and this is what's going to happen? How did they communicate that to you?
So I have a person. So first of all, let's start out with where the donation is.
Okay.
The nearest one for us is in Iowa City. So I coordinated everything with a person that works at the University of Iowa Hospitals, and her entire job is handling Be the Match patients and helping ensure a great experience for them. I was able to call, text any time of day, and she would pick up, and I would have answers to whatever questions I had. So initially in that June timeframe is when I found out that, hey, you're a potential match still. We want to do some additional testing. And wait for it, the additional testing was another cheek swab.
Oh, that's just funny. Okay. And easy.
Yes, absolutely easy. Once they figured out that, yes, everything still lines up, we didn't have any, you know, our initial test wasn't wrong or anything. That's the time when the doctors select who the best potential matches are. And that's a pretty black box process. You just wait for months on end to find out if they even want to move forward with you. But once you do find out that, yes, you are one of the top matches, you do travel to Iowa City or whatever your nearest donor center is, and you have a physical, they pull some blood, make sure you're up to date on all your vaccines. So I got a free flu shot. And basically, yeah, they just make sure that you're in good health and that if you were to go through with the donation process, you are in a healthy state and that there's nothing about you that could compromise the donor or the recipient, excuse me.
Okay. Well, listeners, again, we need to take just a real short break, as we always do during Faith in Action. And I want to remind you, I'm your host for this show, Joanne Fox. With me on the phone is Patrick DeMars, and he's talking about his experience with Be the Match, which it's absolutely fascinating. I know so little about this, and maybe you don't either. So I'm going to ask you to please stay tuned because we have a lot more on this, and we will be right back. Well, hello again, listeners of Siouxland Catholic Radio. If you are just joining us now, well, I thank you so very much for setting your dial to 88.1 FM. If you've been with us from the top of the hour, then you know I'm your host, Joanne Fox. And on the phone with me is Patrick DeMars, who happens to be a Siouxland Catholic Radio board member. But what's more interesting is that he was associated with an organization called Be the Match, and it is the National Stem Cell and Bone Marrow Registry, and it is pretty much open to people who are a bit younger maybe than some of us listeners in the 18 to 45 age range. And what it is, it is to determine whether or not you can help folks that have some serious life-threatening, like blood cancers, like leukemia and lymphoma. And over the past 30 years, Be the Match has operated the National Marrow Donor Program and has managed the most diverse marrow registry in the whole world. And, of course, they work every day to save lives through transplants. And so Patrick found this organization quite a few years ago, back in 2020, and then discovered he was a match within months of doing this cheek swab, and his ethnicity seemed to work in his favor as well, Irish and German. Were you surprised at how quickly they responded to you and said you were a match? Because so many times these things just seem to take time.
I was absolutely blown away, because if you read the statistics on their website, the odds of ever being a potential match with somebody, which that initial phone call that I received is, I think it's about 1 in 80 of ever actually donating are like 1 in 300.
Oh my.
Don't quote me on those statistics.
Okay. We won't hold you to that.
But the odds of ever actually having the opportunity to do this is very minuscule. So first of all, to have the experience at all, but then also for it to be within months of joining the registry, was, yeah, very, very crazy.
Yeah, very much so. And then, of course, whatever circumstances occurred, it wasn't until June of 2021 where they again reached out to you and said, we're going forth. And I loved your comment in the last segment that talked about, and further testing was another cheek swab. Because, again, I understand, you know, they have to probably do protocols to make sure all the T's are crossed and all the I's are dotted. You mentioned, again, you needed to travel to Iowa City for some stuff. I was kind of surprised you couldn't do things here in Sioux City. And you said that you had a great contact there in Iowa City, and that individual explained to you. But explain to the listeners why some of these things couldn't be done, like, here in Sioux City.
So at the time, since I'm at Iowa State, I was residing in Ames. And basically, if I wasn't able to get to Iowa City, they have somebody in Des Moines that maybe I could have gone to. Okay. However, they really, really prefer that you do go to Iowa City, since they have doctors on staff there that deal like this all the time. And they're most familiar with, you know, what makes a successful donor. And, you know, that way they can make sure from their own eyes that everything is good to go when they're communicating that back with the doctors of the recipient.
Okay. Did you need somebody to go with you? Because, again, I'm a little unclear about what the testing involved. And so did you need someone to go with you, or was it you could drive there yourself?
Yep. So I was able to drive there myself. If I were in Sioux City, I probably would have taken one of my parents with me. But none of the procedures or quote unquote procedures or anything you do that day, there's nothing complicated to it. I think I was out of there by lunchtime.
Okay. What did it involve? Did they like more cheek swabs, or did they actually do a blood draw or that kind of stuff?
So yep, there was a blood draw. They checked my veins to know if I were to do it, which vein would they want to use. They showed me what the procedure room looks like, so, you know, what the actual day of would look like, so it's not quite such a black box if I were to proceed. Making sure that any questions I have get answered, and just kind of, yeah, making sure that they can get to know me a little as well as I get to know the program.
So this is like in June that I think you said you did this. And then, again, we know that nothing works quickly in healthcare. How long before they contacted you and said, you know, you're what we want?
So the physical was actually in the probably September, October time frame.
Okay.
And then I found out a little while after that that the donation was going to be in that December time frame.
Okay, and what did they say to you about why? I mean, we talked about that like in the very first segment, your ethnicity, but what other things did they say to you that said, you know, you fit?
So honestly, the biggest thing is just overall health.
Okay.
If you know me, I'm a fairly slender, a lot of fat, making sure that, you know, you're eating a healthy diet, things like that are very important. But yeah, at the end of the day, down to overall health is one of the biggest things.
Okay.
Is your HLA tissue typing fully matches?
All right. So they've determined now that you are the good fit. And what happens next then? Because ultimately, you've got to go in and contribute your stem cells and bone marrow. So what happens next?
So stem cells they're floating in your body, and they're used to, it's basically the blood factory, and they're able to help create your blood and everything. Now, typically you just have enough for, you know, what you need to use on a daily basis or whatever. So in the 5 days leading up to the donation, I received injections of a drug called filgrastim, and it basically stimulates stress on the body and makes it so that I create extra stem cells. So that's kind of what was needed leading up to it.
Were there any side effects of taking something like that?
I'm going to be honest, you don't feel amazing while you're taking it.
Okay.
Because it creates more stem cells or whatever it creates, your bones are basically swelling with extra stem cells.
Okay.
So all of a sudden you have pressure from the inside of your bones, and basically I was taking ibuprofen and stuff kind of around the clock just to kind of help not feel quite so bad. Just stiff joints and different things like that as well.
Okay.
But Be The Match made that process great, really flexible with getting me those injections. It was right around my mom's side of the family's Christmas. So I received two of the injections at Iowa State, one of them from a home nurse that came to my apartment here in Ames. And then one of them was from my aunt at Christmas, since she is a nurse. And then the final one was that day at the hospital. So I kind of coordinated with tons of different people to get those injections done and make it as easy for me as possible.
Well, that's really interesting that you had a series of those. What other things were associated then in preparing you for the actual donation?
Eating lots of calcium.
Really?
Yes. So as you donate, they inject anti-clotting drug or whatever it is into your bloodstream, and it binds to the calcium. And if you've ever donated blood or anything and you get that tingly feeling in your mouth,
right?
That is because you don't have enough calcium in your bloodstream. So I was told to have a lot of calcium leading up to it. I severely did not, to the point that they had 3 jugs of milk sitting in front of me and were having me take Tums every 10 minutes to basically flood my system with calcium, and cheese sticks, and yeah, there was lots of calcium flowing into me. But it completely works, because once I started having that feeling and I started consuming the calcium through different forms, the feeling went away and I continued great with the donation.
My gosh. Did friends who knew you were going through this witness any changes in you?
Yeah, I turned into a werewolf.
Of course, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, naturally.
Oh, fun. And what
if
kind
you were
of...
around me right before the donation, I probably wasn't quite the happiest guy just because of, you know, the filgrastim that was in me.
Yeah.
But no, overall, everything's all good.
Did they have you, like, monitor your blood pressure or your oxygen level or anything like that? You know, things that are associated with just your general health, or take your temperature?
Do you mean during the donation process?
Just before you went in to actually donate, where they're ingesting you full of these drugs.
So every day they do a workup on me to make sure that I'm staying healthy with those drugs, not having any reactions or anything.
Okay.
So they take my blood pressure, temperature, ask me a series of questions, and then they also, my great contact that was with the University of Iowa Hospital, she would call every afternoon just to check in on how I'm doing. As a side note, she was doing that on her vacation time still.
Oh, God, so bless her.
Super committed people and fantastic experience from that perspective.
And I imagine this is all probably telemed stuff. I mean, that's kind of the going thing nowadays. Or did you have to go in physically someplace?
For the injections or?
Well, no, not for so much for the injections, but kind of monitoring that you weren't going to have some sort of horrific reaction and end up hospitalized.
So whoever gave me the injection each day would stick around for just a little while to make sure that I'm all good.
Okay.
The biggest concern was on the first day or two, since that's when I'm first being introduced to the drug.
Okay.
And once you're past that, it's more so just making sure that the symptoms aren't too severe or anything.
All right. Listeners, again, it's time to take a short break, but I find this all very fascinating because, of course, I absolutely zero experience with anything like this. So, again, I want to remind you this show is Faith in Action, and I'm so glad that you set your dial to 80.1 FM and are listening to this exchange with my good friend Patrick DeMars, who's talking about being a part of Be the Match. So we're going to take a break, but we will be right back. Welcome back again, listeners, to Faith in Action here on Siouxland Catholic Radio. And thank you so much for joining us if you just tuned in right now. And if you did, I want to remind you that you can find this show at SiouxlandCatholicRadio.com and our podcasts. If you missed the first three segments, they are there. And you can click on them at your convenience. But if you've been with us from the top of the hour, I hope you're as intrigued as I am with this story that Patrick DeMars is talking about, his association with Be the Match, which is the National Stem Cell and Bone Marrow Registry, and how he became associated with it. And it is fascinating. Of course, you know, if you've got time and you can Google Be the Match, it talks about, literally in this country, thousands of people diagnosed every year with life-threatening blood cancers, and a cure exists for these folks. And over the past 30 years, Be the Match, which is operated by the National Marrow Donor Program, has managed the most diverse marrow registry in the world, and they work every day to save lives through transplants. And so this is so fascinating that Patrick, a Bishop Heelan High School graduate and a student at Iowa State University in Ames, made the choice to be a part of Be the Match and a donor. And so we've talked an awful lot about the whole backstory of what precedes the actual donation. So we've got you through all of the drugs and the ibuprofen and your friends thinking that you're somewhat of a werewolf. And I'm so glad you mentioned again the great support that you got from that contact in Iowa City. And another thing, that it didn't cost you anything. And that is something that I think Be the Match should be applauded for, is they have an incredible way to responsibly provide for individuals who want to do this. So where are we at now? I mean, we're just about ready to do this whole donation, right?
Yep, exactly. So head on over to Iowa City, be able to just check right into the hotel that Be the Match has, handled the reservation for and everything.
Time you do probably need some support of somebody, right?
Yep. So I had my mom, Katie DeMars, with me. And, yep, so she was there with me during the donation and stuff leading up to it.
All right. So how did this work then? So you check into the hotel, and do they give you more drugs before they are going to prepare you for the next day?
Nope. So all of the drugs are delivered in the morning. So none of that comes until I get to the hospital that morning. But basically, yes, we arrived that night. We went out to a good dinner paid for by Be The Match, which is very generous.
Have to fast before you did this?
No, not at all.
Oh, my gosh.
They want you to be eating.
Oh, okay. God, think of all the times you had to do testing at your doctor's offices, and then you had to fast for 12 hours or sometimes 24 hours. This is great. Eat up. We want you to be strong. So great dinner with mom, and then you check in. Do you check in like at 4 in the morning or some ridiculous time?
Well, we didn't choose that. I mean, we could have.
Oh, okay.
Nope. So we got the hotel, went out to dinner, no rush on anything. And that's all the night before. And then the day of, we arrived to the hospital, I think it was around 8 a.m., to get an early jump on the donation. And when you get there, they, do a physical, make sure that you're still in good health and everything is good to go. They take a small sample of blood initially, and that tells them the concentration of stem cells in my bloodstream. So then once I get hooked up to the machine and am going, they basically know how much blood they need to cycle through to get the proper number of stem cells.
Okay, and this is like mid or late December?
Yep, this is mid-December.
Okay, so they're determining all that, and are they pretty good about communicating to you what they're finding as they're doing this?
Yep, everything is transparent. They want to make sure that throughout the process, both myself and my mom fully understand what's going on.
All right, so, where did they stick you to get this?
So that's another thing that takes a lot of people by surprise. 70% of Be The Match donations are just like donating blood. So your blood comes out of the left arm, and then they filter it through a machine, take out just the stem cells, and then put everything back in, and they put it in through the wrist on my other arm.
Okay, so you're conscious.
Yep, I'm conscious, consuming a lot of calcium, as we talked about earlier. People coming up to me thanking me for what I'm doing. They gave me a shirt. Everybody's super grateful that I'm taking time out of my life to donate for Be The Match.
How long does this process take?
That is the question. It really depends a lot on who you are and just how your blood flows.
Okay.
So I was on the machine for about 3 hours, and I was done and had donated everything that I needed to donate. But I've also heard stories of people that had not quite such a fun experience and were on the machine for over 12 hours.
Okay. Are there people that are on the machine even a bit less than 3?
There sure could be.
Okay.
I'm not sure, though.
Okay, so 3 hours, you're just watching Netflix?
I watched a little bit of Netflix, just talked with my mom and people. But really, there wasn't even enough time to get angsty or bored, just since I wasn't on there for all that long at all.
And then I imagine the healthcare people are coming in and out and, making sure that you're okay, looking in your eyes and things like that.
Yep, so I had one phlebotomist that was dedicated full-time to monitoring my progress and making sure that I was, staying hydrated and had enough calcium in me. And then doctor came by along with 2 residents. So they, talked to me, made sure that I was doing well. And then people from Be The Match stopping by just to make sure everything is still going well, asking if I need anything. At one point they ran down to the hospital cafeteria to bring me up food. Lots of attention, and everybody was absolutely fantastic and very grateful.
It's just astonishing. And the fact that you're conscious and you get to kind of watch some television and talk to mom and they let you eat, at any point, were you nervous or a little concerned, or was everything going so smoothly that you felt relaxed?
Honestly, it was a really relaxing experience. Everything makes you feel, you know, they make you feel very comfortable and are always happy to get you anything that you might need. But I think one of the biggest things is how well that the experience was explained to me leading up to it and as they were doing things, that I didn't feel like they were doing unknown things to me. It was like, yep, this is just a part of the process.
And that's so helpful. I think anytime we do anything associated with healthcare, you know, and this is not really an analogy, but I know when I had cataract surgery, the healthcare people were just so wonderful, explaining, trying to, you know, make sure that I was comfortable, and I was. And again, you know, you go in with a little bit of nerves, but that explanation is just so critical to making sure the patient, or in your case, the donor, feels okay, that they already have some anxiety, like anybody does, because this is new. But good healthcare people really take care of you. So you're done with it. How do you feel when it's all done?
I felt fantastic. I'm going to be honest, I cried a little bit just because it was like, wow, I just, you know, sat in a chair for 3 hours and then possibly saving somebody's life, or at least giving them the best chance at survival. And at that point, I honestly felt great because I had all of the excess pressure relieved since they had taken out a bunch of those stem cells that were causing some of the discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I was just feeling like I had too much calcium in me.
So then when you're all done, was there a follow-up afterwards to make sure that your health was still good?
Yep. So for about a week following, they would call me every day and just check in, make sure that I'm still doing good. And then there was a month check-in, and then they'll just, you know, every once in a while I'll have my contact reach out and just say, hey, how's it going? Making sure you're doing all good. Let me know if you need anything or whatever.
Did they share with you if you did save a life?
So due to patient privacy, they're not really able to tell me much for about the first year.
Okay.
And that's just because patient privacy for the recipient is number one.
Well, yeah, and that makes sense. What was the best part?
Yeah, that'll be exciting news to receive.
Oh, yeah, that would be jaw-dropping, yeah. So now you're looking back on it. What was the best part of doing this?
The best part was probably the feeling of being done and knowing that I had just done that great deed and was giving somebody their best chance.
And during all of this, what role did your faith play?
I think throughout the entire thing, your faith just helps you know that you're doing the right thing and trying to, I think it's, you know, a great example of living out your faith, just because, you know, what better way to show your faith than saving somebody's life?
No, that is the truth. Well, again, listeners, that kind of wraps up the show for today. I want to give a sincere thank you to my guest on the show, Patrick DeMars, not only for joining us and sharing this story, but for giving literally of himself to perhaps save another life. Thank you so much, Patrick, for joining me.
Happy to. Listeners, please consider joining or donating to Be the Match.
Google BeTheMatch.com.
.org.
.org, sorry, BeTheMatch.org. And you can find out lots of information. So, again, listeners, thank you so much for joining us. And on behalf of my executive producer, Ann Reed, and myself, I want to remind you that a faithful reaction is always good, but faith in action is so much better. Thanks for listening, and God bless.